One of the great pleasures of having served in some capacities nationally is to get to know some extraordinary people. And one of them is Rabbi Yaakov Glasser. Rabbi Glasser serves as the Dean of the Center for the Jewish Future. It is the Center of the Jewish Future, together with Yeshiva University, that really deserves the credit for helping us create the Kollel here in Chicago, among many, many other programs that they continue to operate and continue to innovate with. I brought Rabbi Glasser to Chicago this past year to speak with high school students because of his ability to communicate the passion and the love of Yiddishkeit. And Rabbi Glasser did, I think, the impossible, but he achieved it. He had the boys at the yeshiva, the girls at the girls' school, and the boys and the girls at the academy, not only rolling in the aisles with some of his jokes, but truly connecting with him and with his message of the beauty of Torah. He has that ability to communicate in a way that very few rabbonim do, and I really appreciate the fact that he flew in for the shiur today. He'll be flying out right out almost after, right afterwards. And without any further ado, it's a pleasure to introduce one of the great leaders of American Jewry today, Rabbi Yaakov Glasser.
I am going to eat lunch here before I fly out. I don't want anyone to be choshesh that came to Chicago and just gave a shiur and didn't partake in the... In fact, there was a big fight at a Shalom Zachar in my shul this Shabbos when I told them I was going to Chicago. If you only have an hour, which restaurant do you go to? And this caused a big debate and a big fight because, you know, but the truth is any opportunity to leave New York is a schus for me. So I'm very happy to be here. I want to thank Rabbi Mitenki for the honor of being able to share words of Torah with you this morning. And express, I know, our collective hope that all of our learning and all of our growth as an outcome of this learning should be an evelation for your son's neshama. And thank you for making me a part of this day. Rabbi Mitenki is a tremendous role model for me, an unbelievable leader of the Jewish people, someone who's really become a mentor and someone that I look up to. And this is really a great privilege. He didn't exactly tell me how many high schools I was going to when I came on that trip, but we just went from high school to high school and I ate a lot of donuts. Anyway, I also, if it's okay, I'd like to just acknowledge that Rabbi and Rebbetzin Stolper, who I see are here with us, the Stolpers are responsible for the Torah growth of many families and certainly my own. My parents, who are both in Jewish communal service, all three of their children and all their spouses are all in Jewish communal service, so none of us make any money, but we have very meaningful lives. And all of that is attributable to the inspiration and the direction and guidance of the Stolpers and the influence they played in our life, and it's a big zechus for me to have you here right now. I also want to acknowledge the tremendous scholars that I had the opportunity to share this morning with. Rabbi Brand and Rabbi Katz, also tremendous gems of this community, and I hope you continue to enjoy their Torah and their inspiration. Okay, so I'm speaking third, so I have the challenge of keeping everyone going, keeping everyone awake. So first I have the challenge of keeping myself awake. So if we can accomplish that, we'll be good to go. We are in the concluding weeks, or in the second half of the experience of Elul. We are on our way to Rosh Hashanah. As a shul rabbi, I've had the opportunity to look out onto the tzibur as we all struggle with the challenge of cultivating and perpetuating a sense of inspiration and a sense of connection to the whole experience of Rosh Hashanah. And it's not simple, it's not easy. I once met the head publisher of ArtScroll. And I told him that I wanted to pitch him on an idea that I was sure would be a moneymaker. I told him that he should publish a machzor where the pages, instead of counting up, count down. No one cares that we're on page 234. The question is, as you work your way through Yomim Noraim, how many pages are we all know? How many pages? And if it's a Hebrew English,
you can divide by two, right?
And it's very, and it's a challenge. It's not an easy time of year. It's a lot of davening, it's a lot of speeches, it's a lot of tshuva, it's a lot of drashos. And it's a challenge to be able to find and discover and reveal where in this experience it could speak to us personally. And especially in the context of the formality that defines so much of our liturgy and so much of our yontif experience, where we become somewhat habituated to the process that unfolds. The shofar blows, the rabbis get up and talk about the meaning of the shofar as if they just discovered it this year. The same speeches as last year. We go to Tashlich, we have Rosh Hashanah, we have the Simanim. In our house, we don't like the head of a fish. My children don't like fish. So we use jellyfish, right? You know, that's also, so I remember that, so I only let them eat the head of the jellyfish, right? It's the Pashka's jellyfish, right? So I only let them eat the head. So my six-year-old last year, at the end of the Simanim, he ate the tail. So the older kids are like, you can't eat the tail. You're going to have a bad year. You can't eat the tail. So he says, I want to have a good year at the beginning and at the end. So he had his own fart on the... It's not easy. It's a set of rituals that we have to find a way to connect. So I'd like to explore a dimension of Rosh Hashanah that I think is not only resonant with us in today's generation, but is also something that we could share with those around us. So let's begin. The Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchas Tshuva that Kol Mitzvos Shebatov, in source number one, Bein asei, bein lo sa'asei, im avar adam al achas mehen. That all of the mitzvos in the Torah, it's a lot of mitzvos. God's expectations of the Jewish people are dramatic and extraordinary. To be able to live your life, fulfilling each and every one of those details is an unbelievable challenge. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, so the Rambam says, Kol mitzvos shebetorah, any mitzvos in the Torah, whether it's a positive commandment or a prohibition, if an individual violates one of these expectations, bein bizagon, bein bishtaga, whether they do so intentionally or they do so inadvertently, kishe ya'aseh teshuva. When an individual engages in the process of tshuva, says the Rambam, v'yashuv mecheto, and returns from their sin, chayiv lihisvados. They are obligated to engage in the process of vidui, in the process of confession. A very strange formulation. The Rambam, who codifies all the mitzvos in the Torah, does not usually talk like this. The Rambam normally says, chayiv adam, lasos tshuva, chayiv adam, lisvados al cheto, chayiv, a person's obligated to do it. Yet here in the realm of teshuva, the Rambam inserts a formulation that expresses almost an inevitability of this process. A hesitation, yet something that's going to ultimately come to likishayase teshuva. Kishayase, when a person does teshuva, they have to go ahead and do vidu. So some achronim look at this formulation and say that the Rambam actually does not believe there's a mitzvah of teshuva. That the Rambam believes that teshuva is simply a reality that is embedded in the overall system and structure of Torah and mitzvos. If we're going to provide you with a paradigm that has expectations, there needs to be a vehicle to respond and react when you fall short of those expectations. So teshuva is simply a living reality, and its formal expression occurs in the recitation of vidui. But teshuva itself is not a mitzvah. Other achronim say, that's crazy. The Torah says all over the place that there's a mitzvah to do tshuva. Yeah, mitzvah azos. The Torah calls it a mitzvah, according to many Rishon. So many disagree with that, but they all is based in this very strange word, kishe ya'aseh teshuva. When a person does teshuva. What do you mean when? That's a funny way to express a mitzvah, right? It's going to be Pesach, so you say, kishe adam ochel matzos. Ochel matzos mitzvah. It's a weird formulation. Kishe adam leishe basuka. They sit in the. What do you mean? Kishe adam kishe yaseh teshuva. Just say you have to do tshuva. That's question number one. Question number two relates to the Rambam's structure of Hilchos Teshuvah. The Rambam, in his formulation of the laws of repentance, even though it's become to us such a given that we can open up a book and see with total clarity a structure, a system of how to come closer to God, when the Rambam assembled these laws of Teshuvah, it was revolutionary. Because the process of Teshuvah was spread all over Gemaras and Shas. The notion that you would extract all of the different statements of Chazal from the entire corpus of rabbinic literature, structure them and codify them to direct people in a system of how to do Teshuvah, a system with a framework, with a pattern, with a beginning and a middle and an end, was extraordinary. And in the Rambam's Hilchos Teshuvah, he directs us how we do this. And we're familiar with these stages of Teshuvah. Kids come home with projects from school, right? You have to recognize the sin. You have to repent from the sin. You have to do vidui on the sin. You have to accept not to do it again. It's only real Teshuvah if you're tempted and you resist. The Rambam has a formal structure for Teshuvah. Smack in the middle of that set of halachos in Perakei, the Rambam inserts an entire chapter that has nothing to do with the laws of Teshuvah. The Rambam inserts an entire chapter that addresses the philosophical challenge of free will. The notion that humanity is given the opportunity to choose right from wrong when there is a divine being that can predict, that can control, that can ultimately dictate the outcomes of all these choices. And that conundrum, that challenge, which exists in the context of all religious philosophers struggle with this notion, is addressed by the Rambam in the middle of Hilchos Teshuvah. As the Rambam begins Perakei, Rishus Lechol Adam, everyone has free will. Nisuna im rotza lahatos atzmo lederech tova. If you want to do the right thing, b'lios tzadik and be a tzadik harishus b'yado, you can do that. V'im rotza, and if you want, and we forget this, because we think we can raise a generation of children that we just program to do the right thing. No! You give them all the education, you give them all the inspiration, you give them all the wonderful personalities, you give them everything you possibly can. At the end of the day, it's their choice. And you can't stand in the way of that choice. It's their choice. It's my choice. It's your choice. Says the Rambam, Bim rotza lahatos atzma lederech ra. If you want to choose to do the wrong thing, v'lios rasha harishus biyado. That's also within your capacity. Hu shekasa b'torah. And then it says that the Torah tells us a man is given the opportunity to go ahead and choose right from wrong. Question number two is, what is this doing in the middle of Hilchos Teshuvah? I'm trying to tell you how to be a better person. I'm trying to tell you how to improve. There's a momentum that's been initiated from Perek Aleph that is giving you a sense of energy, a sense of propulsion in how to revolutionize your life and become a better person. And smack in the middle, you stop the whole thing and you say, oh, by the way, just so you know, if you don't want to do any of this, you know, it's your choice. It's your decision. What is this doing in the middle of Hilchos Teshuvah? That's question number two. Rav Soloveitchik asks that question. Question number three relates to Rosh Hashanah, and it's also from a Rambam. The Rambam tells us in the Halachos of Teshuvah, in source number three, Halacha Dalet, Afal pi shetkiyas shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras akosav. We know there's a mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar. We come to shul, and there's a shofar blower, right? And we know some people blow the shofar amazing. And there's a guy who lives next door to me that for the last 30 days, he thinks he blows it amazing, right? And this is what goes on. The shofar, last year, our shul built a new building. So last year we were in a school. We were in a school for 3 years. So last year we were in the school, and it was the end of Rosh Hashanah, and we had done all the tekios and all the davening and all the speeches, and everyone was in all the singing, and everyone was at the spiritual zenith of the Yom Ha'Rayim experience, and I'm up there calling out the tekios, and the Baal Tokeah is blowing away, and I say, Tekiah Gedolah, and the school bell goes off. And literally, We had to wait. First, we had to wait a good 30 seconds for the school bell because it was lunchtime, right? Thank God I didn't go off in the drosha, right? That would be cold, right? The school bell goes off, and then we had to wait a good 5 minutes for people to stop laughing, including the Baal Tokeya and the rabbi, who just could not calm down, right? So we have a mitzvah to kiyas shofar, to hear that authentic, primordial blow from the recesses of a person's soul through the shofar, and to reach all of us with that inspiration. Says the Rambam, yes, it's a gzeiras hakosov. Yes, it has a dimension to it, that mitzvah, that is identified by our simple, our commitment, our requirement to go ahead and do it. However, says the Rambam, remez yeshbo. There's also meaning to it. There's another layer of meaning to it. Kelomar uru yeshenim mishinaschem v'nirdamim mikitzu mitarnosechem v'chitzu v'maseich. That, and I think it was quoted in the last shiur, that the shofar is meant to arouse us. It's meant to awaken us. It wakes us up. We're getting going. On my way here, I met somebody I knew on the security line in Newark Airport, and he went to the lounge to daven. I davened at home. And when I got there, he looked very disheveled, and I said, what's wrong? And he said to me, well, the talis and tefillin went over fine in the lounge, but the shofar was a problem. Okay, now New York's a little on edge right now today, so I was like, you know, you might want to consider maybe doing that later, you know what I mean? I don't know that, but listen, people are passionate about the shofar, you don't get involved. So, uru yesheinim mishinaschem, it wakes you up, it arouses you, v'chazru v'tshuva, and it makes you return with tshuva, v'zichru borachem. And the question that Rabbi Soloveitchik asks on this Rambam is very simple. Because the Rambam has just posited that embedded within the experience of the shofar is a dimension of the enterprise of tshuva. It's about tshuva, it's about return. Which means Rosh Hashanah, which is the holiday to which shofar is the iconic expression of its identity, it's the Yom Teruah, is a day of tshuva. Yet, asks the Rav, if you look at the Rosh Hashanah experience, you do not see any of the formal dynamics of tshuva. We don't say vidui on Rosh Hashanah, right? There's no al-chetz on Rosh Hashanah. There's no akiyanu amech, none of that. Rosh Hashanah is beautiful. Rosh Hashanah is amazing. Rosh Hashanah, what do we do on Rosh Hashanah? We go to shul, we're dressed in white, we're confident, we feel good. Rabbi's inspiring, the tefillos, the singing, we come home, we eat a good meal, we talk Lashon Hara about the rabbi's speech. It's Rosh Hashanah. How late did the chazan go? These are the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. It's a great day. It's a regal day. As Rabbi Katz said, it's a yontif day. Where's the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah? Where is the tshuva in Rosh Hashanah? You look through the whole liturgy, you will not see themes of tshuva. Maybe they emerge in later additions to the machzer, but in the core machzer experience, malchios, zichronos, shofros, but Rosh Hashanah is not a day that you get up and you start. It's not like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, you're not eating, you're not drinking. I don't want to know from this world. I want to live an angelic existence. I want to place myself in the cocoon of accentuated spirituality. I want to imbibe the energy of the malachim. Yom Kippur is a day of tshuva, v'chiper bado, uva'ad beiso, uva'ad kol kahal. It's a day of kapara, it's a day of tahara, it's a day of mikvah. Where is it in Rosh Hashanah? What is Rosh Hashanah in the realm of tshuva? So Rabbi Soloveitchik answered this question with a very interesting gemara. So join me in looking at source number 4. The gemara says the following. The gemara says in Kiddushin, we've all been to weddings, right? And you get to the wedding, you get to the chuppah, you wait 40 minutes, right? Then the family walks down, the parents walk down, very emotional. Aunts and uncles walk down, very emotional, and the little kids walk down. This has been deteriorating, right? Started with, you know, let's play Hamalach HaGoel, then it went to Uncle Moshe's songs, then it went to It's a Small World, now like Elmo follows him down the aisle. It's totally out of control, right? So everybody walks down the aisle and everybody's standing there at the wedding. And the rabbi is doing his thing. You know, a wedding's pretty simple, but rabbis make it look a little complex, so we get paid. So, yeah, you accept this as it. Are you related to you? Are you related to you? Are you related to you? Right? Well, this could be figured out beforehand, but it looks more chashuv if you do it up there. Right? It's very complicated. It has to be formulated, right? Are you related to you? Right? So you can clarify everything, and now the chassan's ready to hand the kala the ring. So the Gemara says that when the chassan hands the kala the ring, so he has to make a declaration of kedusha. Hareya mekudesh asli. You're betrothed to me. You're holy to me. You're sanctified to me. So the Gemara says a person is permitted. We don't do this anymore. Just want to make that clear. A person is permitted to insert a condition. Out tonight, you can make a condition. Hareya mekudesh asli. You're betrothed to me. Al menas that you're a vegetarian, right? So that would be din of Russia, right? So. Amenas, you can make all sorts of different conditions. So the Gemara says, let's say you have, and this Gemara is right out of our generation, you have a good, solid, millennial chassan whose mother's told him he's the greatest kid in the world since the moment he was conceived. Shimama, she had headphones on the stomach just saying, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best, right? Raises him, you're the best, you can do no wrong, you can do no wrong. He goes out, he gets engaged to the best girl from the best family, from the best everything. And he gets up there at the wedding and he says to the girl, Hareyat mekudeshesli, al menas, says the Gemara, sha'ani tzaddik. Oh, and his mother's like, you get him, boy, right? You know, like, absolutely, al menas sha'ani tzaddik. Al menas, on condition that I am a righteous man. That I am a righteous man, okay? All right, beautiful. New chumra, right? Very nice. So the Gemara says, what happens? So if he's taka and tzaddik, if he's a righteous man, beautiful, mikudeshes, and let's go, you know, start up the Star Wars music and dance him in. Let's go, right? But what happens if he's not a tzaddik? What happens if he's a Russian? He stands up there and he says, I'm a nashani tzaddik. But really, he's a Russian. So when you make things conditional, if the condition that you're inserting is not fulfilled, then the larger context of the commitment becomes unraveled and therefore does not apply. So if he says, I'm a nafshani tzaddik, and it turns out he's a Rasha, says the Gemara, we would expect that that's it, and there's no kedushin, and we're done, that's it, we're finished. We have a lot of food, but there's nothing to do. Says the Gemara, mikudeshes, that she is married to him. How could she be married to him? The tzaddik was he's a tzaddik, and really he's a Rasha, says the Gemara, Shema hear her teshuva. Because maybe he contemplated, maybe he thought about, maybe he considered doing teshuva. So the Mefarshim go crazy. What does that mean, maybe he thought about? That turns you from a Russia to a tzaddik? Right? Every conversation I have with my 14-year-old is like this, right? Why did you, like, are you going to do this again? Oh, absolutely not. You know, like, what do you mean, hair of a teshuva? That he thought about doing tshuva. Says Rav Soloveitchik, what do you see from here? You see that tshuva, you see that change, is not just about outcomes. It's not just about what happens at the end. That the process of reaching, the process of ambition, the process of aspiration, the desire, the will, the rotzon to do the right thing is part and parcel of the tshuva itself. The motivation is not preparatory for tshuva. It's not like you have to sit in a sukkah. So there's no mitzvah to build a sukkah. If you don't build a sukkah and you have a sukkah, you're ready to go. But if you build a sukkah, it's a beautiful thing. That's a hechsher mitzvah. So you would think that trying to do tshuva, that's preparatory. That's trying to do it. You're getting there. You're aspiring to it. Says our Salvechik, no. You see from this Gemara, if that were true, then the kedushin wouldn't be chal. The kedushin wouldn't work. The marriage wouldn't work. This guy said, I'm a nashani tzaddik. And he hasn't changed a single thing. He's still the same Russia he always was. Everything he did to make himself a Russia, use your imagination. Don't use your imagination. Everything he did to make himself a Russia, he's still doing. He hasn't changed one thing. But says the Gemara, Shema Yeharer Betshuva. Maybe he wants to change. Maybe the motivation is there. And when the motivation is there, says the Rav, that is tangible change. That is real. That is concrete. This explains Rabbi Soloveitchik, that is the essence. Look at source number 5 of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. Tzeu tshuva shel Rosh Hashanah. The shofar shel Rosh Hashanah. You know what the shofar is about? Hear her tshuva. Uru yeshenim mishinasa. The shofar is about awakening us to tshuva. The shofar is not about change. The shofar is about the desire and the ambition for change. Ki ha-shofar me'oro u'mekitzo. It arouses us. It awakens us. Mishnaso v'tirdoso ve'elei azman. From our habits. From our the way in which we've just sort of allowed ourselves to go with whatever's going, from our passivity. The shofar awakens us and says, we're going to be different, we're going to change. We're not going to get angry so easily. We're going to be more giving, we're going to be more compromising. We're going to be more careful with minyanim, we're going to be more careful with Talmud Torah, whatever it is that we're going to do. But the shofar is not what makes us do it. The shofar is what makes us begin to think about doing it. Vigorim lo leharer lishnos es drachov ulitakin es masov, and it gets us motivated to change who we are and to fix who we are. Ve'en kan elar irur shel tshuva v'sof hatshuva lova. The actual transformation, that's not happening yet. That will come in the future. Ve'av she'en kan seder hatshuva, even though you have none of the practical structures of tshuva, charata, regret, vidui, confession, none of that is part of Rosh Hashanah. Mikol makom, hear her tshuva yeshkan. When you're sitting in shul, and that chazan starts nesana tokef, and you begin to close your eyes, and you begin to think about the fragility of life, and you begin to think about who you are, and what you do with your time, and how we express our commitment to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to those that we love, those thoughts, those contemplations, those inner voices within ourselves, that's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. And even though we haven't changed a single thing, we're gonna go to lunch and we're gonna blast this chazan. We're gonna go to lunch and we're gonna be a regular lunch. We're going to go to Tashlich. There we can have Lashon Hara, inter shul Lashon Hara. You know what I mean? When did you finish? When did you finish? When did you finish? My father is a chazan, so I grew up with this, you know? When did you finish? Right? Even though we're going to do all of that, what's changed on Rosh Hashanah? Our desire, our will, our motivation, our ambition. And that's what the B'nai Yisaschar writes when he talks about the days of Elul being the days that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows Moshe Rabbeinu to return to Har Sinai to accept the Luchos again. These are the days that Moshe's climbing the mountain, that he's going up. These are the days of reach. These are the days of aspiration. These aren't necessarily the days where a change is going to happen. Maybe a change will happen, and that's wonderful. But the Avoda of Rosh Hashanah is to emerge a different person, not in behavior, but in perspective, in attitude, and in ambition and aspiration. And that, by the way, is why Tashlich, you know, Tashlich is such a fascinating minhag, right? We all show up, I don't know, do you have a central Tashlich in Chicago? There's no water in Chicago, right? There's water. Okay, beautiful. Anyway, I grew up in California, okay? So in Los Angeles, we did not do Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah, right? What we did was we did Tashlich after Rosh Hashanah. We all got together at the beach in Santa Monica on the pier, and there we did Tashlich, and it was amazing because we were able to sin and repent all at the same time. It was like without a hefsek. It was amazing. It was beautiful because you don't want your Tashlich to be a Tashlich with batola or a Tashlich sheino tzricha. You don't want the Tashlich not to be useful, right? So okay. What is Tashlich? Why do we do Tashlich? Well, we show up and we start throwing bread, or we make these tefillos. What do we do? What is this? So the Maharil says the following. The source of Tashlich is the, says the Maharil in source number 7, Mashenoagim leilech b'Rosh Hashanah achar se'uda eitzel yamim, that we go to the yamim and naharos, the seas and the rivers, lahashech b'mtsulas yam kochat osenu, to throw all of our sins into the sea. Mishum, why do we do this? De'isa b'medrash zecher la'akedas Yitzchak. We do this because of a medrash that recalls a part of the experience of Akedas Yitzchak. She'ovar Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu, the medrash says that Avraham Avinu was walking towards the Akedah, and the Satan put a river in front of him. And he was trying to stop him from accomplishing this Herculean expression of faith. And Avraham Avinu, instead of stopping in the river, enters the river. And he moves through the river, and the water's going up and up and up and up to his neck. And Avraham Avinu is saying, I'm going, I don't care, I'm going. And because of this, we do Tashlich at the sea. What is that? Because of what? The answer is because the Akedah, as it occurred on the mountain, that was unbelievable. That was extraordinary. Maybe some of us can do that, maybe we can't. But the journey to the Akedah, the walk that Avram takes with his son, the ambition, the aspiration, the motivation that he has to serve God, whatever's going to happen when they get there, we don't yet know. We don't know. Maybe they'll chicken out. Maybe Yitzchak won't be game. Maybe he won't be interested. Maybe Avram will hold back. We don't know. We know one thing. That no matter what obstacle is put in front of him, he's moving forward. He's propelling himself forward. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is recognizing that there are nisyonos in life. There are challenges in life. But we develop and we cultivate within ourselves an ambition to push forward. And that's what the Rambam means when he says, Kishe Ya'aseh Teshuvah. Ya'aseh Teshuvah, to do Teshuvah, that relates to the outcome. That relates to the change. Kishe Ya'aseh. You know what that hesitation is? You know what that grammatical apprehension is? Kishe Ya'aseh Teshuvah. When he's going to do the truth. That's the voice in your head saying, do I really want to do this? Is this really, this change, is this really going to become part of my life? Is this something that's really, am I going to prioritize this and sacrifice for it? Is this something that extreme Jews do? And it's not, this is not for me? I don't need to be this machmir, I don't need. Those voices, that struggle on the way to the Akedah, the kishayas, the moment before Teshuvah, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. And that's why the Rambam embeds within his Hilchos Teshuvah the vital and core experience of Bechira. Because Bechira focuses not on the consequences and the outcomes. The Torah says, Ubacharto Bechaya. The Torah says, life presents in front of you two paths. You could go to the path of life, you could go to the path of death. And then the Torah gives us a mandate, Ubacharto Bechaya. But choose life. What do you mean choose life? What lunatic would look at those two options and not choose life? The answer is, it's not choose life, it's choose life. Don't live because the momentum of life is just carrying you on. Make choices, make decisions, make commitments. Develop within yourself a sense of aspiration for something greater. It's in the choosing that we discover life's greatness and our connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that is ultimately what the Rosh Hashanah experience is. It's the voice of the shofar to wake us up and to have us say to ourselves, I want more. When I was growing up, I went to high school in Los Angeles. I wasn't zoche to have a principal. Thank you. And I had a great principal, but at 16 years old, I was leaving high school. And I had an interview with a Rosh Yeshiva, of a yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael. Rosh Yeshiva sat down, he gave me a bechina. Bechina went fine, that wasn't the issue. He looked at me and he said, I only have one question. Do you want to learn? And I looked him in the eye at 16 years old. I would have been one of these Amanas Shani Tzadik guys, right? And I said to him, no. So he said to me, so why should I let you in my yeshiva? And I said to him, because I want to learn. I don't want to do it, but I want to do it. I want the motivation, I just don't have it. That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is, I really want to want this.
It's the avoda to work on motivation. And it's something to think about, because in the chinuch of our children, we're so focused on modeling behavior, right? Do our kids see that we go to shul? Do our kids see that we go to learn? Do our kids see that we go to do chesed? Don't they see that we do tomchei Shabbos and visit the old age home? Do they see us do all these things? Sometimes we have to focus a little more on modeling motivation. Do they see that we want to do these things? Or do they see, after we sat with them and told them how great learning is and how great growth is and how great it is to be a frum Jew, and they're so lucky to be in the schools they're in, and then they sit at the Shabbos table and they hear us complain and complain and complain about paying for it, because it comes across like, is the motivation, do we want it? Do we want them to want it? That's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the avoda of wanting to be a Jew. The ambition, the motivation, the desire. And that is something that the generation we're raising now needs more than outcomes. Because they are going to face in society much greater challenges to a religious lifestyle than we face. And in order for them to be able to conquer those temptations, they need this. They need bechira. They need that capacity and the strength and the fortitude to choose life. To kishayas, and to struggle and to decide to move forward. The hear her tshuva, the desire and the reach and the want for tshuva. And that's ultimately what it's about. I want to conclude with one interpretation of a Gemara that is very non-traditional in terms of this interpretation. It's not the interpretation, I'm sure all of you have heard this Gemara, and it's not the classic interpretation. I want to share it with you, and then we'll finish the food. So, the Gemara tells us that there was a man, in source number 8, that there was a man, and his name was Elazar ben Dudai. Elazar ben Dudai was an expert sinner. And Elazar ben Dudai had basically allowed himself to devolve into the abyss of sin. And he was involved in every conceivable sin you could possibly imagine and not imagine. And the Gemara says that one of the sins that he was involved with was Gilui Arayos, promiscuity. And he was having a particular encounter, and during that encounter, something awkward happened, and the individual that he was with, the woman of ill repute that he was with, says to him, just like this whole experience is awkward and inappropriate and whatever, so too, look at your whole life. This is what you are. You're nothing but a passing wind. You're a nobody. You're a nothing. And somehow this clicked. Somehow this was his chauffeur. Somehow this clicked. And he completely freaked out. And Elazar ben Dudai went running around, says the Gemara, looking for inspiration. This is what people do when they want to change. So the Gemara depicts how he turns to the cosmic forces of the universe. He turns to the sun and to the moon, and he says, Bikshu alai rachamim, request mercy for me. And the sun and the moon say, we can't request mercy for you, we have our own problems. We're requesting mercy for ourselves. Think it's easy to be a sun and a moon now? There's global warming, there's CFC. It's not Bashans, right? We can't get involved with you. He goes to the mountains and to the hills, and he says, Bikshu alai rachamim, request mercy for me. The angelic manifestations of the mountains and the hills. The mountains and the hills are like, we can't expect mercy from you. We have our own issues. We have our own problems. Forget about it. And he goes from component to component of nature requesting this intervention, and they all turn him down. He sits down, says the Gemara, and he begins to cry. Not a cry, but a deep, deep emotional, foundational, soulful cry. And he begins to cry, and he says the following statement, immortalized in our mandate for Yom Narayim, Ein Hadavar Toloi Ella B. That the matter is dependent entirely on me. The sun's not going to help me, the moon's not going to help me, the mountains aren't going to help me, a rabbi is not going to help me, an inspirational shir is not going to help me, online learning is not going to help me, nothing's going to help me. You know what's going to help me? Me. Ein adavar tolui ela bi. And he cried so hard, the Gemara says, his soul went up to Shammai. soul goes up to Shemayim, and God, sitting at the gates of heaven, welcomes him into heaven and gives him smicha. He says, welcome, Rav Elazar ben Dudai. Oh, right? The fast track of smicha, right? So now he's a rabbi, and he's sitting there in Shemayim. Then the Gemara concludes this story with the following comment. Bacha Rebbe. When Rebbe heard this story, he cried. He cried and he said, Yesh kone olamo. The Kama Shals, the Yesh kone olamo. Someone said it? Beshah achas. Some people spend their whole life trying to grab the world, and some people conquer the world in Shah achas, in 1 hour. So the Gemara says in 1 hour. How do we usually interpret this Gemara? That Rebbe was saying, great job, great job. You live your whole life as an environment, as a sinner. And then in that one moment of opportunity, you grab it, you seize the day, and boom, you're good. Yesh kol ha'olamo b'sha'achas. Don't worry, Jewish people. No matter where you are in your trajectory of religious growth, you can grab the whole thing in 1 hour. Says the Gemara, Bacha Rebbe, Yesh Kona Olamo B'Sha'achas, says the Magid Mimezrich. And that's the way most of us interpret this Gemara. Says the Magid Mimezrich, there's just one problem with this interpretation. That is the words, Bacha Rebbe. That Rebbe cried. Why is he crying? So when I read the Gemara, I figured he's crying because it's an emotional idea. It's an overwhelmingly emotional idea. You could grab the world in 1 hour. It's emotional. Magid Mezrich turns the whole Gemara on its head. Says, Rebbe wasn't complimenting him. He wasn't complimenting him. He was saying, Nebuch. Nebuch. Yesh kone olam b'shah achas. That there are people who are so focused on the outcomes that as long as they could check that they got into Olam Haba, they think they've fulfilled their meaning in life. The journey of life is what it's about. The aspirations, the reach, the hirhurim, the thoughts, the ideas, the rivers that stop us, that we persevere through, the kishayase, the bechira, the choices that we make throughout life, that's how you reach the pinnacle of Olam Haba. Bacha Rebbe. Rebbe cried because the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Dudai is tragic. It's tragic. Because yes, he got the admission card to Olam Haba. But he did not get to live a life of virtue and experience the transformative impact that has on himself and that has on his family and his community and those around him. Yesh kona olamo v'shah achas. So this is our goal for Rosh Hashanah. As we begin to greet this momentum with greater fervor, to think not just about, did we get the Pas Yisrael cookies for Aseres Yemei Teshuva? Did we wake up a little earlier for Slichos? Did we do all the things? We have the fish head, we have the honey, we have the apple, we're ready to go. It's to think about our motivation, our kishayas, our thoughts, our desires, our aspirations. Some of those aspirations will come to fruition. And some of them won't. And it makes a difference what our ratzon is. It makes a difference how we go through life in terms of what we're reaching for. And that is the ultimate world of Rosh Hashanah, and that is the kishayase, and that is why Amanas Sha'ani Tzadik, even if the guy's a Rosh, is Mekudeshes, Mekudeshes. May Hashem see all of the beautiful and amazing and incredible deeds of yourselves and your family and your community, the support that you give each other, and all of the wonderful mitzvos that happen in this community that's L'Shem L'Tiferes. May you see the degree to which we are able to learn from the Matenki family and how they encounter and deal with challenge and tragedy by bringing people together to grow and to learn. And that the path of life will bring things that we don't expect and don't anticipate. And the question is not, Yesh kono olamo b'sha'achas. The question is, what do we do with those moments? What are our desires? What are our ambitions? What are our goals? wishing all of you a ksiva v'chasimut.